You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Candace. I'm excited to be able to speak with you guys this morning. I know that I have a word that I'm going to give, but sometimes the Lord kind of puts a little, you know, something extra, and I feel like we need to do a couple things. And so we're in a season of 21 days of prayer. That's not even just 21 days of like general prayer. We are in 21 days of prayer and focus for our schools for this generation, which I kind of have been imagining myself to be just like each of us with our tiny pickaxe. Hammering away at a centralized part of a wall that the enemies try to build up between us and our victory in our schools. And through this 21 days of prayer, we get to chip at that wall. And I really do believe, and I'm not even like just because I'm on staff or whatever, I really do believe that we are going to experience some breakthrough in this season of this semester because of these prayers. Like there's literally kids who would probably commit suicide, but because we're praying, they're not going to. Like, get that in your mind, what we're doing right now, and it will get you up out of bed to pray. Like, I'm imagining saving lives through these prayers. So it shakes me up. I can't be complacent in my prayer. So here's what I want to do is I want to pray, of course, but I want to invite you. Right now, we have around 156 people signed up to pray with us on Saturday. We're going to go on campus, and we're going to pray over schools in person, which I think is pretty significant. We want to have every single school in Kings County covered, and right now we don't. I'm believing for 300, okay? And so that means I need 150 extra people to sign up today at minimum. And so go on the Church Center app. If you don't know how to use the Church Center app, go to Guest Services. They'll teach you, okay? No shame in not knowing how to figure out an app. We're going to teach you guys, okay? Because we believe everybody needs to be there. We want to get you signed up. So right now, I just want to ask, who here considers themselves to be a prayer warrior? Raise your hand. Can you stand? Okay. Now, who here, maybe you would not use that phrase. Like, I don't know if I'm a prayer warrior. I don't know about all that. That seems crazy, but I do pray. That's you? Stand up. There it is. So here's what we're going to do right now. Because while we're going to be praying for schools, I don't know if you guys have noticed over the past couple months, the Lord has been doing something incredible in this house. And I believe that whenever the Lord starts to move, the enemy also starts to move. It's kind of like a dance, right? And so the Lord is moving here. He's saving people's lives. There is a hunger for transformation. There is a hunger for healing. There's a hunger for salvation, and it's right here. It's right now. It's online. It's happening right now. But in turn, the enemy's doing some weird stuff. Okay. And so I believe as the people of God, the owners of this house, we get to have prayer. Okay. We get to have a time of prayer. And that actually does create a line in the sand that says actually with the plans the enemy has, they're no more. They're no more. It's so simple, right? So simple. So we're just going to pray. Okay. And we're going to pray specifically for Koinonia and that the Lord would stave away the effects of the enemy during this day of revival. And so what I want you guys to do is if you're in the back of the auditorium, just turn around because we're going to hit all four corners. If you're in the front, I'm going to invite you to come up and lay hands on this altar where this is where salvation and transformation often has or is happening. If you're on the sides, would you even go and lay hands on the walls if you want to? You can go to the back, you can go to the front. We want to make sure all four corners of our auditorium is covered. We're going to be thinking about our children's ministry. We're going to be thinking about our teenagers across the street. And we're just going to spend around 2 or 3 minutes in prayer right now because there is work to be done. And the Lord has plans and the enemy has plans and we are going to get in between. We are going to be carriers of the fruit of the Spirit. So right now in this house, my God, would you move right now in this house? Would you create a hedge of protection over Koinonia Church? Would you allow even the carpet, the square footage, the grass, the concrete to all be pure and sanctified, set apart for pure work of your kingdom, my God? I pray that this would be a house of worship and praise. This would be a house of welcome, that people who come into this house, that they would feel just a welcoming sense of your Spirit in Jesus' name. God, I pray for protection for our children right now across the street as they're worshiping. My God, I pray that you would protect their minds, that you would protect their bodies. My God, I pray, Father, for our children in these classrooms. God, that you would just build a hedge of protection around them in Jesus' name. I pray for a protection of a Future Hope preschool as they are molding young minds and to have identities and hearts for Jesus. My God, would you protect that group, my God, those teachers who serve you, my Lord. We say, Jesus, that this is your house, my God. This is your house, my God. It is not even ours, my God, but as your warriors, Father, we will stand between the enemy and this house, and we will say no more. You do not get to have a say here, enemy. This is our house in Jesus' name, and you have no access here. You have no room to spread fear here in Jesus' name, and we will stand up again and again and again and say, and we will declare no more over you, enemy. We will declare no more over you. You have no access here in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. All right. All right. Let me just tell y'all, you need to be in prayer for your church, be in prayer for your pastors, be in prayer for this house. If you do any studying on revival, if you do any studying on when there's a powerful move of God, there's also a lot of stories of the weird stuff that happens too. And it almost makes me like kind of excited in a sick way to just like recall. I was talking to my mom. My mom lives in Texas, and talking to my sisters. We have a thing. We all chat. And I'll just tell them the string of things that have been happening. They're just like, what in the world? They're literally calling me saying, are you okay? And I'm like, dude, I'm fine. Like, I'm so great. The Lord's good. But the string of weird. Have you guys been through a season where you just felt like the next day it was another batch, it's another thing, here's another thing. We're in a season like that as a church family, and I believe that we have access to stopping it. I don't pretend that I will be defeated. I don't want to pretend there. I want to live victorious. We're bosses, right? We're in authority here. The enemy is not the boss, okay? He's kind of silly in his schemes. He's silly. He's showing his cards. I see it. And I say, heck no. Heck no, techno, actually. That's what I used to say when I was a teenager. And I still say it now. Heck no, techno. I used to say it all the time anyways. All right. So join us on Saturday. Seriously, I'm very, very serious. If you guys haven't joined in, prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. It's moving hearts. It's moving teenagers' hearts. It's moving young people's hearts. It's setting them up for their restoration. So we're going to pray on campus. How cool is that? Like, literally, the sound of our prayers are going to be in the soil. Okay? So we're going to go do it. So join us. I mean, if you have to, like, cancel some things, it's worth it. Right? So it's Saturday. You don't have to get up early. 10 o'clock, guys. You can sleep in still. We're in a series called Wake Up. Wake Up. And today's all about believers. Those are the people who have said yes to Jesus already. We believe in the Lord. That's me. That's many of you. And if it's not you yet, if you're not a believer, just know I'm going to invite you in at the end. Because I believe the Lord is going to talk to you even today, and he's going to say, you need to make a decision and follow me. I believe that that's happening even right now. So I want to read this verse. It's in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:14. It says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's so strange because I've read this like seriously dozens of times, but every time I've said it out loud, sometimes there's a difference when the Lord starts to speak in and through and the scripture comes alive. And I believe that the scripture is coming alive for me right now, and I think it's coming alive for this house. Would you read it with me? Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. How cool is that? Christ is going to shine on us when we wake up. Okay, when we wake up. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right. Do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. If we go on sinning, if we don't wake up, there are people who will continue to go on sinning. There are actually people's salvations that are waiting for you to be a part of letting them hear the gospel. So we have to wake up, not to be led just by our gut or by our feelings or by our emotions. We cannot wake up and we cannot stay asleep and continue sinning. We have to wake up and start to allow ourselves to be used of God, because there are people who have no knowledge of him. Actually, I've been listening to some testimonies of the Lord working in Africa and in Iran and different cities and different places. There's revival happening where even before they have the text, even before they have the book of God, even though they have the Bible itself, they're understanding scripture, which means I know that the Lord's on the move. Okay, here's what he's doing. He's coming to people in their sleep. He's coming to people in their sleep. It's so crazy. My mind is like being blown on a regular basis as I listen to these testimonies. He's coming to people in their sleep and he's helping them know the gospel. And then when people come, when people do missions, when they come, it affirms in them. They actually, these people are reciting scriptures that they've never seen before. They don't even know that there's a text. And it's just like, oh, you already know the Bible. Who taught you? And they're like, what's the Bible? Because the Lord's on the move. The Lord is on the move, okay? And he is doing mighty, wondrous works, and I want to be a part of it. I have to be awake. I cannot be complacent and asleep because of my own comfort. I can't be complacent or asleep because of my own my own insecurities, right? Sometimes I want to be in a place where I feel like this is where I know I can do it, right? This is the line I know, like this is where my abilities are at the end. This is as far as I want to go. And often when you wake up to the Lord, he's going to push you past that. What a terrifying place that is. And so to be awake means to be alive and active in what God's plan is, not only for your life, but in the whole of his kingdom. Scripture teaches us that there's three types of people. Pastor Andrew last week taught an incredible, he opened up, it was so good. I was out there and Stick Around Sunday and I was just hearing parts of it, so I got to listen to it later online. Such a good word, such a good word. I would encourage you that if you haven't listened to it, go and listen, particularly for how to talk with people who don't know the Lord. Such a good word for how to talk with people who are not sure about Jesus, because it talks about how our spirit was once dead, but because of Christ comes alive. Okay, that's the truth. And this is why we get crazy, guys. If you're new to church and you're like, wow, these people be loud, right? And that's true. And I'm proud of that because I recognize where I was. I'm loud because I know I was dead and today I'm alive. I know I was broken and today I'm fixed. Like the Lord has done a work in me. And so I get to shout. I get to dance. I get to celebrate. And so the reason why we take this so seriously, this church thing, the reason why we're going to give our money, the reason why we're going to give our time, the reason why I'm training my children in the ways of the Lord is because I recognize the reality of our spirit, that it could be dead or it can be alive. And we are people who are alive today. We are people who are awake today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 teaches us about three different people. Okay, Pastor Andrew talked about the first person, the natural person. It says in verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. Folly is foolishness. Okay, they're foolishness to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That means the things of the Spirit, we can only understand them. It's like a different language almost. We have to have a translation. Sometimes when I listen to music that like 18-year-olds are listening to right now, I'm like, what is that? You know, like I don't understand. And then I go ask Pastor Tyler and he explains it to me. And I'm like, okay, I just needed the discernment of a nice Gen Z folk. You know, I need my help. And so sometimes there's this translation that's needed. And when you don't have the Spirit, there are things that the Spirit is doing that we don't understand. The natural person will not understand why you love Jesus. He may not always understand. He or she, they may not understand. Okay? And so if you're in that place where you're like, what is going on? We understand that you don't understand when we love you anyways. Right? We're going to love you anyways. And I'm choosing to hold you up and hold you up until you understand. Until the Lord opens your eyes, to open your ears to what's new for you. Verse 15, the spiritual person, this is the second person, judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's the spiritual person. He and she who have the mind of Christ. And I tell you, I am one step closer almost every day. There are some days where I take a couple steps back. But I take a couple steps forward every day to being that spiritual woman, to having the mind of Christ. I tell you, there are still things that get in my mind that are not of the Lord. Right? Like I have insecurities about who I am, who his church is, who he is. And so I know that I am still in the process of reworking my mind. Okay, so I'm heading there every day, praise God. Because I want to have the mind of Christ. Not even a partial mind. I want to have the whole thing. The whole thing. Okay? I've gained some ground. Okay? I no longer think certain things about myself that I was taught by my own brokenness. Okay? I don't think that I'm too much, but sometimes I do. Right? I don't think that I'm too ugly, even though sometimes I do. I don't think that I'm too loud, even though sometimes I do. Right? Like, I go back and forth. I have some victory, but I'm still training my mind based on the truth of God. God says that I'm his daughter. God says that I'm his. God says that I'm chosen. God says I'm alive. Okay? Those are the things I have to remind my brain. I'm retraining my mind because I want to have the mind of Christ. So my mind needs some work. My mind needs some work. Person number three, but I, brothers, this is chapter 3, starting in verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people who have the mind of Christ, right? But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. We want to talk about not being infants today. Because sometimes in our infancy, we actually do, we do not continue to grow in Christ. If you stay an infant, it's a lot of work for the church to be a good example. Let me just tell you guys, I talk with, sometimes we as pastors, we get to talk with people who are on the edge of Christianity. They're here, they're here in the house, they're seeing the worship, they're not sure. And one of the most consistent things I hear that challenge people who want to come into the house is the people of God. That's us, it's me. They're like, I see you saying you love Jesus, but I see you acting a fool. And so that dichotomy, that discrepancy, that hypocrisy is what gives people pause about Jesus. And I tell you people that if we can profess and confess and actually concede our flesh to the Lord on a regular basis, we will mature up. We will wake up. We will grow up. And we will be a better example. And I just tell people, I'm like, yep, we're all in process. We're all a little bit carnal. Can you forgive us for being a bad example? And say yes to Jesus anyways. Like, that's almost always the speech I give. Can you forgive us for being a bad example? And say yes to Jesus anyways. Give him a chance, even if you can't give us a chance. Okay? Because we mess it up. We mess it up, man. We are snarky sometimes, right? But we are in a place where we are aiming for spiritual maturity. Now, here's what I know about spiritual maturity, is it doesn't have as much to do about your physical age. Okay? But sometimes our physical age can be a stopping point for us growing after maturity. Some of us might feel like we've arrived. I tell you, there's some 18-year-olds, you feel like you've arrived. And you hear the giggles. It's just obvious, right? To people who are a little bit ahead, like, you haven't arrived. You don't know stuff. You don't know, right? No disrespect, but absolute truth. You don't know everything yet. Some of us be acting like we know stuff. And it's just like that 18-year-old, like, okay, you got the driver's license and a job, but you don't know about life yet. Sometimes the Lord's just like, come on, baby girl. You still got work to do. Okay? And that's me. That's you. That's us all the time. We are growing up in maturity. We are in the process. Praise the Lord. And he has grace for us. Hallelujah. And he wants to continue to see us onto our next area of maturity. There's a guy in the Bible. His name is Peter. And when I go through and I do kind of a survey of Peter's life, he actually reminds me of all three of these characters. Okay? He reminds me of the spiritual man. There are moments in Peter's life when it's obvious he is being a vessel of the Spirit of God. And there's obvious moments where he's still in his carnal nature. Carnal means this mixture of, I got the Spirit, but my flesh is still in charge sometimes. Okay? I got the Spirit. How many of you guys would say amen to that? I got the Spirit. Okay? But my flesh is still in charge sometimes. Oh. Right? Sometimes I'm too hungry, too tired, too emotional, too whatever to do right. Right? And so that's the carnal man. And Peter shows us this. Peter is one of those ones where he has these shining moments in Scripture with these really horrible examples of humanity, kind of in the same verse. And it just gives me such assurance. So I'm going to whip through some just to give you a little bit of a giggle. But Peter, he was one of the only three. He's considered one of Jesus's best friends. Could you imagine being Jesus's like best friend? Not just his disciple, like, oh, I follow Jesus, I'm in the club. But now he chooses me to go to like the cool spots. Like, we get to, you know what I mean? Like, he is Jesus's best friend. He's one of the only ones who got to see the transfiguration in Mark chapter 9. Peter, like Pastor Chad said earlier, when Jesus was walking on water, he literally walked on the surface of the water. When Jesus was walking on water, Peter had the guts, which I think is so cool. I want to be just like Peter. He had the guts to say, Jesus, if you're walking on water, I want to walk on water, call me out. Okay, like that, was that even an option? I would not have even considered that. Like, look what Jesus is doing. I would have just pointed and been like, whoa. Peter's like, me, I want to do it. Me, pick me. So then Jesus says, okay, let's go. So Peter gets out and he walks on water. And then he falls. Because he got his eyes on the wind and waves, right? And then Jesus got to save him. I feel like that's just a little small picture of my entire life. I've been called out, Lord, would you use me, God? And he's like, okay, Candace, do this. Okay, I do it. And I'm like, I hate this, God. Immediately, I'm like, I don't like this at all. This sucks. And so then he's like, then I fall, I fail. And he has to pick me back up. And he does it on repeat. He's not mad at me still. He's still picking me back up after I step to where he's asked me to go, and then I decide I don't like it anymore. He's still picking me up. There's this one part where Jesus says, who do the men say I am? The Son of Man. And then Peter says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. That was like one of those first revelatory moments where in Scripture it was like, this is the incarnate Godhead. Jesus Christ, God made flesh. Like, so powerful this moment that Jesus was like, whoa. It wasn't human knowledge that gave you that information. It was spiritually discerned. And so Christ praised him. 5 verses later, he calls him Satan because Peter had said, you're not going to die, Jesus, not in my house. Like, he's basically drawing a line like, no, you can't die. And then Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. 5 verses later, this is Peter struggling in his flesh. Peter objected to having his feet washed. That means when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, Peter was like, no, Lord, not my feet. And Jesus is like, I got to do this, man. He's like, okay, my whole body. You know, like he jumps from one kind of extreme to the other. There's not a lot of stability, it seems, because he's still dealing with the guidance of the Spirit and the reality of his flesh. He doesn't get it all the time. He's failing. It was Peter who, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, it was Peter who whipped out his sword and cut off the soldier's ear. And then Jesus was like, gosh, Peter, picked up the ear, had to like fix it. You know what I mean? He's like always fixing Peter's stuff. It was Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. 3 times, one of which was to a teenage girl who he should not have been embarrassed to follow Jesus in front of a teenage girl, but he was. He denied him 3 times. And then after the resurrection, he's got to talk with Jesus. And then he got to remind Jesus, I love you 3 times. He got to do that. In the book of Acts, there's this moment when all of the disciples are gathered and the Holy Spirit comes on them in a powerful way. And it was Peter's sermon that brought 3,000 men and women to Jesus in one day. It was Peter. So the story is Peter's struggling. He gets the Holy Spirit and he saves 3,000. The man who regularly put his foot in his mouth was a part of saving 3,000. It was Peter's vision of a sheet filled with animals that actually opened everybody's eyes to the potential of Gentiles being in the house of God. So incredible. So incredible. So Peter reminds me that while we are walking this out, we still have to deal with our flesh, okay? We find ourselves as that third person so often. I am heading towards being a full spiritual man. I want to be a full spiritual woman, but I know that there's a part of me that's still carnal, still to have issues, and I don't want to be asleep to that fact, and I don't want to allow my flesh side of myself to have the full reign. I want the Spirit side of me to be bigger and stronger and more mature every day. So there's a couple things that we can do to stay awake, to deal with the sleeper in us, okay? A couple like alarms. You guys set alarms to wake up. How many guys are not morning people? You're not morning. I knew it. I was like, first service, who's not a morning person? Like 2 people raised their hand. I was like, second service is going to be my people because y'all need to sleep in a little, right? And so we're not morning people, praise the Lord. And I feel very, very obligated to tell this so that you guys treat me nice when you see me in the morning. We're not morning people. So we set alarms. My husband, he needs 1 alarm and then he just gets up. It's so powerful. The Lord has given him a gift. It's a spiritual gift. I have on average like 3 to 5, you know, and that's very, very normal for me. You can scroll and see all the different time options. because I can't just be woken up in a moment. Like I kind of have a mental wake up first. I don't move my body, just turn it off, and I'm like, okay, I'm my eyes aren't open at all. I'm awake-ish. Second alarm comes up, and I'm like, okay, I need to start to move. You know, so I'm in the bed, and I'm like, the day is coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I'm just starting to do the thing, trying to get my spirit right. The third alarm, fourth alarm, or fifth alarm is whether I wash my hair or just wash my face, or, you know what I mean? Like, the decisions are being made as I, you know, procrastinate or whatever. Don't judge me. Sometimes you need to deal with the sleeper inside of you. Sometimes we need to deal with it, and we need alarms to wake ourselves up. Sometimes we get distracted, we get demotivated, we get discouraged. Praise the Lord for 3D words in a row. I didn't even know. Praise the Lord, I'm a preacher. Here's one. We need to know and live and believe the fact that the spiritual battle is won. The spiritual battle is won. When I recognize the fact that there's a spirit inside of me, I'm not just a curly-haired girl, right? I have a spirit and I have a soul. The spiritual side of me, because I'm a believer in Jesus, the victory is won. The victory is had. I live. I talk. I breathe. I parent. I'm married. I work. I drive. I do all of these things from a place of victory because the spiritual battle is won. I live there. You live there. If you're a believer, you don't have to stay silent. You don't have to stay quiet. You don't have to stay discouraged. You live from a place of victory because we are spiritually alive in Christ. We are spiritually alive in Christ. Keep that reminder on repeat in your spirit. Keep it on repeat. Do not forget what God has done in your life. Do not forget that you were once dead and now you're alive. Do not let that be a slow, quiet song in the background only when you come on Easter. You know what I mean? Let it be an anthem. Let it be the thing that rings true every day. Every day, the spiritual battle is won. And here's the reality for me, the additional alarm for Candace, and maybe for some of you, is that I didn't do the work. I didn't do that work. You know who saved me? Jesus saved me. Okay? Jesus saved me, and I needed a lot of saving. Okay? He saved me. And so that way, when I start to feel too good, when I start to feel too grown in my spirituality, I start to forget or try to assume that some of me has the responsibility for my salvation. This reminds me that He is the reason for my salvation. It reminds me, He is the reason for my salvation. If I start to think that my salvation has something to do with my good behavior, all of a sudden I can look out and judge you for your bad behavior. And if we start to get it in our mind that we did something here, it takes us out of equal playing field with everybody else. And here's what God's calling us to, is that the fact that we all need Jesus is a unifier for all of humanity. It keeps us in line with everybody. So whoever is, their life is being riddled by addiction on the corner downtown, he needs Jesus, the same as me. I need Jesus, he needs Jesus, and it's a unifier. Okay, as soon as I start to believe that, well, I got my life figured out, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as I start to do that, all of a sudden we're on different, we need different things, right? And it keeps me humble. It keeps me searching for the truth for people that's not our own good behavior. Salvation that's miraculous. Salvation that's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. It comes from the Lord. He earned it for you. And He said, listen, just come to me. Just come to me. That's all you got to do. Come to Him. And the battle is won. The second alarm is that the personal battle is ongoing. There's something in you that's still fleshy. And so the spiritual battle is won, but if I feel too good about that, like I don't let that, if I let that be the final alarm, then I don't actually put any effort behind actual restoration on long term. I wanna grow up long term because the spiritual battle is ongoing. There's more work to be done. Because my flesh is still present. Sometimes I have a bad attitude. Sometimes I don't care about certain things that I need to care about. Sometimes I don't have enough. Sometimes I'll never be enough, right? Sometimes I'm still addicted to things. Your victories are still coming. I believe that for me, and I believe that for you. your victories are still coming. If you're a believer in Jesus, you live in victory, but your victories are still coming. There's a new victory for you today. There's a new victory for you tomorrow, because we are, as carnal people, always redeeming our flesh through the presence and power of Jesus. He's always redeeming it. Just like Peter, where he would say a thing and it would be wrong, Jesus would correct him. He would do a thing, it would be wrong, Jesus would cover him. He would say, I want to walk on water, I want to do the miracles, I want to try the thing. He would sink, Jesus would pull him up. We're all in this place of constantly reaching out. The Spirit is calling us to things, and sometimes we fail, and the Lord has a victory for you today. There are things that you might be holding on to today that he says tomorrow, you're not going to hold on to that anymore. You're not going to hold on to it. And I believe, I was praying, Lord, what are you setting us free from as a house? I believe he's setting us free from debt. So in this house, I have this prayer. My God, would you help us to be debt free? Would you help us to not be swayed and compelled by what's new and shiny in a way that overcomes our financial capacity? Would you give us wisdom, God? Would you help us be able to be so generous that it blows people's minds because we got our finances under control? We're going to be set free. There's some of you guys who you already have the plans to shop tomorrow. And the Lord is saying, actually, sis, why don't you sit? Because he's got better things for you than an immediate fix. Okay, he's got better things for you. Okay, I believe that we are going to be set free from pornography. This house, we do not need the eye entertainment, the sexual entertainment. We do not need that. We are going to be set free, but it only comes from freedom in Jesus. That's not one of those things. Like freedom from pornography, it's invasive to who you are, okay? And so the addiction of pornography, it's super, super deep. And so we really do need Jesus's help. And I believe there's some people in here, you don't actually even think you can be free. You think that this is your life. But I'm here to tell you today that you can be free from an addiction to pornography. You can be free from a twisted sexual dysfunction that might have come from who knows where. But we can be free from those things. Okay, victories are coming. Victories are coming. So here's the alarm. You're already in a place of victory if you're a believer. Wake up and know that. The other thing is that your victories are coming. There's more victories coming. There's victories coming, and you get to live there every single day because that personal battle is ongoing because your flesh is still present. Amen. Here's a couple wake-up tools. Number one, you need to engage your will. Engage your will. That means setting your mind. This is where your will lives, your decisions for what you're going to do. Set your mind on things above. Now, when we say to set your mind, that's an action. It's not a hope. I hope my mind's on things above today, God. You know, it's a decision. It's a decisive move of where I place my thoughts. And sometimes this is tricky. It's almost like slidey, like trying to have something rolling downhill and you're always trying to pull it up. As soon as you let it go, it's going to roll downhill again. This is how our thoughts are, okay? If I don't hold on to my thoughts, it's going to roll downhill again. Right? And eventually the practice of holding on to those roly thoughts. I have these roly thoughts that are judgmental against people, right? And I don't want to be a judger. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a lover. I want to be humble. I want to be so compassionate and moved by people's issues. So when these judgmental thoughts come up, I got to hold them. I got to transfer them and I got to change them for love, right? That's an action. And so as soon as I let it go, those thoughts are judgment. So I'm going to set my thoughts on things above. That's action in our head. Action in our head. You have to engage your will. That's turning that on. You have to not be asleep in your mind. Don't be asleep in your mind. Allow your mind to be active and in charge of itself. Because your mind is kind of like a muscle. It'll repeat what it's always done. It'll just go back to that. Especially if you're tired. Especially if you're in a hard time. Okay, so if you're in a process right now and you're trying to work on some, I think that there's some ways that we talk about ourselves. Sometimes I hear it and I'm like, hey, stop saying that. You know what I mean? Like, you're not that. I hear some of my automatic things. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not this. I'm not that. And I'm like, man, there's some automatic natures of our mind that we need to exercise. Pull it up. Take it captive and exchange it. Exchange it. So engage your will. It says, get out of the flesh. You have to get into the Spirit. Okay, to get out of the flesh, you got to get into the spirit. Get your mind right. Romans 6:11 says, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. I consider myself to be dead to sin. So then when sin, temptation comes up, so here's the thing. Temptation comes up. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm never tempted. Okay, temptation comes up and I got to engage my mind. What am I going to do? If I'm not engaged, the reality is that I'll probably step into temptation. I'll probably whip a harsh word at my kids, right? I'll probably speak out something that's a death instead of life to the people I love, okay? I'll probably choose comfort instead of diligence before the Lord, okay? And so as people, we are not going to be led by our flesh. We're going to be led by the Spirit, and we're going to engage our mind. Temptation, victory over temptation will require both your will and the Spirit. Some of us, we just pray, Lord, would you remove that temptation? And he's like, I'll do that by you overcoming that temptation. We move the temptation behind us when we get over it, when it no longer tempts us in the same way. And that comes from an exercise, a partnership of the will and the Spirit. The Lord's not in the game of just removing the hard things from your life, because he knows what's best for you, and what's best for you is for you to grow up, not for you to have an easy road. He wants you to grow up, okay? Sometimes the spiritual lifting of overcoming your issues is what's required for you to grow up. And sometimes we're actually asking for immaturity when we ask God to remove the temptation. We're asking for immaturity. And he says, no, I want you to be mature in Christ. I'm going to give you the power to get over that. I'm going to give you the power to go through that. I'm going to give you the willpower to say no, or the willpower to say yes to the right thing. Number two is we need to get filled with the Spirit. When Peter was full of the Spirit, his words shifted. His compassion for people was changed. Okay? And there's a difference between being baptized in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Because sometimes we come in this house and we just have these moments, dude. Let me tell you, like Alfred, I don't know where he is, but he's got a presence of God on him. So when he sings, I'm just like, oh, loud. Like I can't help but feel it. You know what I mean? I feel it, right? That's like almost you can't, even if you don't love Jesus, you probably felt it, right? Like it was good. It was so good. And so we can have these moments, these feelings, right? And then sometimes you even get beyond feelings and the Lord's talking to you and he's saying, hey, listen, I want to do this in you. I want to tell you you're this. You have this baptism moment in the Lord where he just moves you beyond where you're at. He can touch your spirit. He can bring you to tears. He can even heal you in this moment. And then sometimes we leave and we act like none of that happened. We act like it never happened. Even by the time I get to my car, I park real far. And so the enemy's just like, yeah, that was sweet for you, I guess. He just adds a question mark to as I'm thinking of the things. He's like, was that real? Did that even happen? Did they really think that? You know what I mean? I just always get these question marks. And then I have to do the work of remembering that I'm not just baptizing the Spirit here on the altar. I live by the Spirit in the parking lot. I live by the Spirit in Target. I live by the Spirit when I'm dropping my kids off. I live by the Spirit. Okay, it is the breath of life in me that is my dictator. Okay, it is what is in charge of me, and that is choice-oriented, allowing the Spirit of God to flow through me, not just fill me up once for the week, okay? And so living by the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and listening to him as I walk and talk and parent, as I cook, as I drive, I'm seeking the Lord. What do you want, God? I'm expecting the fact that the Spirit is talking to me. I'm expecting to be able to hear from him, and I'm expected to be guided by him. I'm expecting it every day, and that keeps me awake, because if I turn off my ears, which is so easily done, I won't hear anymore. I'll miss it, and I'll just be going through the motions, exercising my own authority and building my own kingdom. But when I listen to the Spirit, he's always going to guide me and direct me to building his kingdom, his church, his glory. His glory. It's for his glory. So I want to pray today. I want to pray today for people who feel like they've never been filled by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've had a couple moments, you know what I mean? You've had a couple moments, but you feel like, man, I'm not really living by the Spirit. I want Monday to be full of the Spirit. I want Tuesday to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled. I just don't want to be have a touch. I don't want to have a baptism moment. I want to be filled to overflowing. And if you're not living in that space right now, or you're feeling like you kind of just come and get refreshed and then you go, but you're trying to make a change right now and you want to be filled with the Spirit, would you stand? Yep. I don't want to embarrass you, but sometimes when we stand and we put ourselves up there, it's actually telling our whole selves, this is me. This is me. So I thank you guys for standing, for saying, I want more, okay? And so right now, everybody else, I assume you're either saying no or you're filled with the Spirit. We're going to pray for these right now. And we're just going to pray that the Lord would just fill them up to overflowing so that when they leave, they're just bubbling, even in the gifts of tongues and spiritual songs and prophetic utterances to the people they know and love, that exists outside of these four walls. So Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, for these incredible young and old men and women who have decided to be filled with the Spirit, my God, that they would walk, they would talk, they would breathe your anointing, they would expel, they would express your goodness wherever they go, my God, that even as they're talking to their kids, that it would sound like Scripture, as they are talking with their staff or their employers or whoever they're working with, my God, that it would have a holy tone to it because they're always full of the Spirit, my God. I pray that there would be a decision to walk in the Lord and not just go to church, but they would live it out every day in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen and amen. Holy God is in the house. Now I'm going to do one more prayer. Can everybody stand? Everybody stand. Everybody stand. I'm going to do an invitation. I promised I would. If you don't know Jesus and you haven't made the decision, we've already talked about that is the natural man. That means your spirit is dead. And the Lord's already been saying, hey, you need to come alive. Come alive in the name of Jesus. So if that's you and you've never made a decision for Jesus, but you've heard and you want to say yes today, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? I see that hand. I see it. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to wait just another second. I feel like I just got to wait. I see that hand. So I'm going to do one more. I'm going to do one more. If you were a Christian, maybe you were raised in the church, or maybe it's been a long time and you've walked away and you know you need to come back. Scripture calls those prodigals, where you've been with the Lord, you tasted and seen, but then you've taken some time for yourself and you've forgotten, but he wants you back. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Yes, Lord. I'm going to invite you guys to come forward. Those who've raised their hands, would you come to the front so I can pray with you? I do not want to embarrass you, okay? I promise, but I want this to be significant for you. I want this to be a big deal. I want this to be like the best thing that's happened to you all summer. I want your body and your mind and your coworkers, everybody to see what just happened. Now, real quick, while they're coming up, can you turn to your neighbor and say, do you need to go up? Because if you need to go up, I'll go up with you. Just ask real quick. Do you need to go up? Because if you need to go up, I'll go up with you. Just say it and then come up with them and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Pastor Chad told me this morning, but I want to pass it on to you, that there's an extra grace in the house right now. And grace is the power and the authority of the Spirit of God to give you what you can't do for yourself. He can give that to you. There is grace for you right now. I just want to pass that on to you, that there is grace for every single one of you right now, that the things that you've been struggling with, that you've been afraid of, there is grace for you right now to have victory over those things, to have an understanding of who you are that's different. Today is a different day. And so don't let anybody tell you that that was weird. Okay, let's forget about that. But today is a day of victory for every single one of you who are saying yes to Jesus, maybe for the fifth time, maybe for the first time. But would you guys stretch your hand out so we can pray for these? My God, I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that's just flowing at this altar right now. I just pray, Father, for transformation of hearts, that which is dead is now alive. And I pray, God, that the enemy would have no work, that he would have no room to speak to their minds right now. Would you just protect them, my God? Protect their thoughts about this decision, my Lord. Lord, I pray pray, God, that they would have a season of confession, that they would tell you that they need you, God, and they would have a season of forgiveness, that you would just pour out and lavish upon them just such a knowledge and an understanding that they are truly, truly forgiven for the things that they have done, that that forgiveness is a gift to every single one of them, and they are in the kingdom. They're brothers and sisters. They're part of the tribe. They're part of the club. That they are fully in. They belong absolutely, and that this is their day of fresh new birth. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.